San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, May 9th, 2021. Happy Mother's Day. Today's lesson is Substance of Joy with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. So good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Every year we have one of these, you know? In May, the second Sunday in May, it's always Mother's Day. And then the third Sunday in June, it's always Father's Day. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
Because Hallmark came up with a great idea to sell more cards.
Well, yes, Hallmark did come up with a great idea to sell more cards. But the reason that we celebrate mothers and fathers is because of the divine creative process. Without a mother and a father, or the fruit of a mother and a father, a seed and a sperm, none of us would be here. An egg and sperm, none of us would ever be here. So, good, bad, or indifferent, let us give thanks to the woman who gave us our physical life, just as we are thankful for the infinite spirit that animates our bodies. We know that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence in which we live and move and have our being. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And that anchors us in the ultimate truth of all life. And we talked about the source of joy last week. We talked about the source of all life, and that we are love. And so today we're going to talk about the substance of joy. Usually on Mother's Day, we have a talk circling around bundles of joy, and that we are all little bundles of joy when we're born. Well, you were a bundle of joy. Whether you're biological parents greeted you with joy, or whether it was someone else in your life that greeted you with joy. Do you know who some of the happiest people on the planet are? The nurses that are in the hospitals. They get to see all the brand new babies. There are people who work in hospitals, in trauma wards, in cancer wards. And do you know what they do to lift their spirits? They go down and they look in the nursery windows and see the babies, see that fresh new life, that tangible proof that there is hope. There is hope for something new and something fresh and something better. Every baby, every person is God expressing itself. We are all God expressing itself. We are the infinite spirit here in form, in these bodies. Well, in the dress, but also in the body. We are going through this year with Living in Faith and Wisdom, and our theme for May is joy. And so we're also following through with the guidelines that are in the 365 Science of Mind. And the one for today is, you know, I looked at it and I thought, how am I going to twist that thing around for Mother's Day? Because there's only one mind. And so when we look at something, we can look at what is every principle behind it to be able to speak to it, right? Right, so Substance of Joy and Mother's Day. We have the essence that we are. Our body and every part of it is made of pure substance. And it is that life within that animates this body. And so in the 365 Science of Mind, it says, my body and every part of it is made of pure substance, God. It cannot deteriorate. This instant, this infinite substance within me, which is constantly flowing through me, takes form in the likeness of perfect, whole, and complete cells. Every cell of my lungs is strong and healthy, filled with life and vitality, strength and cleanliness. Think about all of the little babies being formed in the womb. Some people call them just a collection of cells. Just a collection of cells. Every single cell is the miracle of life and creation. Every single cell. And that collection of cells turns into the form of a human body. But still, that body is the expression of the divine. And when we think about what makes this body function, what's the one thing that can cause it to stop functioning altogether? The inability to breathe. The inability to breathe. And so we know that when we are breathing, the inspiration is the in-breath, and the expiration is the out-breath. So we are always breathing. But what we are breathing isn't just air. What we are breathing is infinite spirit. Infinite spirit is in the air. It's in the molecules. It's in everything. The omnipresence of spirit means that not only are we living as spirit, we are breathing spirit. We are walking on the form of spirit, which we think is a solid floor. But everything is spirit. And so in 365 Science of Mind, he says, every breath I draw fills me with perfection, vitalizes, upbuilds, and renews every cell of my body. I am born in spirit and of spirit, and I am spirit made manifest this instant. When we breathe, our cells are rejuvenated. When our cells are spirit, the air that we breathe is spirit. So we are, as long as we are breathing, we are alive, awake, and aware as God expressing. Isn't that cool? Is that not cool? So, since this month is joy, and since I introduced what is joy last week, I want to go over it just a little tiny bit again for those of you who were not here last week. I was realizing there, you know, for years I wondered, why does Reverend John recap all the time? You know, everybody was here last week. Everybody heard him. Why does he say it again? And it was yesterday that it struck me, Oliva's going to be here. She wasn't here last week. Everybody isn't here every week. So that's why everything needs to be recapped, not like a complete renewal and re-speak of the term, but the theme for the month, joy. I can't just explain joy on the first Sunday of the month and then say, well, you know, I said it last, you know, the first Sunday of the month, go listen. No, joy is every day. Joy is every month, every week. So what is joy? It's the emotion excited by the expectancy of good. It is gladness. It is delight. It is exultation. And that's what Ernest Holmes describes joy as in the glossary from the Science of Mind textbook. And I remember last week talking about, what the heck is exultation? Well, inquisitive person that I am, I looked it up. So exultation is a feeling of triumphant elation or jubilation. It's rejoicing. And I thought, oh, cool. Triumphant elation or jubilation. What technically is jubilation? Jubilation is a feeling of great happiness and triumph. Great happiness and triumph. And so I'm getting this triumphant triumph. Why triumph? So I looked up triumph, and it is a great victory or achievement. And then everything fell into place for me. Did it just fall into place for you? We're letting go of the battle, and we are realizing that all is already ours. Letting go of the battle of false beliefs and false thoughts and just saying, hey, you know what? I'm not fighting it anymore. I know that the divine is all there is. That's it. I don't need to have any doubts. I don't need to have any fears. I can just say, oh, yeah, got it. No need to worry. It's already done. So, we're going to go on a great explore of the law of opulence today. Does that not sound cool? I like opulence. It's a good word. So if you're ready to go on this trip with me, are you ready to go on this trip with me? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay, so place your hand over your heart and say, today.
Today.
I am alive.
I am made of pure substance.
I am made of pure substance. The substance of life.
The substance of life.
The substance of joy.
The substance of joy.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So breathe. Breathe. Because when you're breathing, you are rejuvenating, renewing, uplifting every bit of you that is already the divine. You are breathing in the source of life into you, the substance of life. You are the substance of joy. Is that not so cool? When I think about Mother's Day and I think about the substance of joy, I think about when my children were born. And when my daughter was born, I'd done a lot of babysitting, but still it's not the same as having, you know, surviving childbirth and then having some nurse come in with your child, like a running back carrying a football, walk in and say, here she is. So, but the connection, once I was able to hold her and feed her, nurse her, then it was like, oh my goodness, there was nothing greater. And since I knew that, then when my son was born, I was looking forward to that. I really was. Only my husband was at the hospital too, so they let him hold him. And I was the second one that got to hold him. So here, Dad holds. He's going, oh. And me, I want it. I want my baby. So I got to hold them. But that is a substance of joy. That is substance of joy. There is a woman who created a company and she called it Substance of Joy. Isn't that interesting? She saw a need to share seeds of positivity in a tangible way. And she came up with a mission, a purpose, a way, a philosophy, and she named it Substance of Joy. She says, I thought to myself that I wanted all my products to be substances, materials, and tangible objects that provided joy to people, whether that is through the powerful words printed on a book or the bold colors and designs embedded in a bag. I wanted every single product to have that kind of power over people. And I believe it could, because words are very powerful and can become our reality. And whatever we expose ourselves to can either help us or break us. So why not let the substance of joy empower you? What wise words. And what an amazing insight she had into this. And her mission was to invest, to teach, to share, and to serve. She said, seeds of positivity are love and joy in our lives through every one of the products that she makes. She makes encouraging notes. She makes powerful affirmations. And her goal is to change your life for the better while planting these seeds. Wow, where have we heard that before? Where have we heard that before? Right here in New Thought, right here in Science of Mind. And in planting these seeds so that it can bloom gracefully through your mind, character, and life. When I found this, I was like, wow. Here she is deeply in some Christian church, and she is speaking these universal truths, which reminds us always and should remind us that deep beneath whatever the dogma, the doctrine is the truth that we are one. The spiritual principles that there is oneness, one wholeness. And she claims that her substance of joy is not just a business, but a community that aims to graciously teach people the beauty of life and the greatness of who they are. Boy, you know, I went online to look at what products she had, and she was all sold out. I thought, well, no wonder. No wonder she's all sold out. Every single one of these seeds of positivity is in somebody's hands, and it's growing, and it's blooming, and it's creating joy in their own life, in her life, in the lives of those who care, and in the lives of those to whom these gifts have been given. There's joy in there. By handing something, some small thing, there's great joy. Somebody gave me a small box as they came into service today, and I looked at it and I felt immediate joy. Because not only was it the idea, the thought of the gift, but it is something that I love very much. And as soon as I held the box in my hand, I could already taste it from memory. It was like, oh yeah, cool, wonderful, wonderful. Joy, joy. One little thing, one little gift. I'm going to conclude this story with the summary of Substance of Joy. Substance of Joy is the breakthrough the world needs. It's a kind of breakthrough that kills negativity with kindness and spreads love instead of hate all through its products. I feel the need to provide product for customers because there's a need for such love. There's a need for such love, community, and encouragement in a world full of fear and division. Well, I'm not going to claim that the world is full of fear and division. What I will claim is that there are an awful lot of people who are having experiences of fear and division. An awful lot of people. So when you meet those people, I want you to give them a link to today's talk. Okay? We'll dispel all that fear and division in a heartbeat. Ernest Holmes, besides being the founder of religious science and the author of the Science of Mind textbook, was also a prolific author. He wrote many, 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 many books. One of them is Living the Science of Mind, and it's kind of a companion book to the Science of Mind textbook. This one is geared more toward the work of the practitioner and the lectures that he gave to practitioner students. And so today, I'm going to be talking about a section and reading from it. It begins on page 340, and it's called Substance and Supply, or the Law of Opulence. He says, "Naturally, we all want what we want when we want it. One of the many criticisms of the New Thought has been that it is materialistic, since those interested are striving to better themselves materially. This criticism is based on a most materialistic foundation, since it divides substance and supply, God from man and life from living. It makes the kingdom of heaven a far-off divine event and separates earth from the eternal glory. It is just the opposite of the simple but direct statement of Jesus when he said, 'What things soever ye desire, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So all these people who are saying, well, New Thought, it's all materialistic. No. The concept that New Thought is materialistic comes from a place of separation. It comes from a mentality of lack. Excuse me. He goes on, "The idea that it is wrong for man to pray for or treat to get what we call material good is based on the belief that reality and actuality are separated by a gulf that can only be bridged through individual suffering, impoverishment, and misery. That man may be redeemed from all this misery in some uncertain future, but not here and now. Yet Jesus stood in the midst of the here and now and proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven is within and at hand." That's what Jesus actually taught. The kingdom of heaven is within and at hand. And he taught about universal principles. All universal principles work in the exact same way for everyone. For everyone. Think about it. Water. Water reaches its own level. Water flows downhill. Water and the flow of water cannot go contrary to principle. You cannot compel water to flow uphill. So how does that relate? It's a principle. It's pure and simple principle. Water is going to do what water does. So we might as well go with the flow. We might as well look at the principle behind what Jesus is saying. Jesus was claiming the nature of this certain principle, and he was teaching the people how to use it. He was saying, "What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Believe that it's already yours, and it's yours. On page 341, paragraph 2, Ernest writes, "Jesus announced the principle of substance and supply, or the law of opulence. He clearly taught that it is right for us to have what we want, provided we subject our desires to divine will and divine necessity." So just what do we mean by divine will and divine necessity? Divine will means the nature of God or Spirit, and divine necessity means the law of cause and effect. So when our will aligns with the infinite harmony, the law of cause and effect has no choice. It must obey our will when our will is in alignment with the good, the divine, the infinite. What's one of my favorite things to say? The universe always says, yes, yes. Divine will is the will toward life. And life and the fulfillment of life cannot contradict itself. Principles can't contradict themselves. Water can't flow uphill of its own volition. Water can't be at a slant of its own volition. It seeks its own level. These are principles. Just like our spiritual principles, just like the things that we live here on earth. So when Jesus tells us to seek ye first, what he's telling us is to comply with divine will. And when we are in compliance with divine will, then the law of cause and effect takes effect. It takes place. It happens. Now, the truth is, whether or not we are in compliance with divine will, the law of cause and effect is happening. It happens for our good when we are in alignment with divine will. It happens for whatever we are thinking about if we are not. If we focus on lack, boy, do we lack things. Ernest writes, "It's the necessity of our union with the divine will to which all else is added, and the all else he included in what things soever ye desire. Whether these things be automobiles, undershirts, or sacks of beans makes no difference. Included within the what things soever must be all things, past, present, and future." Thus, Jesus tells us to comply with the divine will. We can see that it is to our own benefit to be aware of these principles and to be aware that the universe always says yes, always.
Ernest says, when anyone tells us that it's wrong to use spiritual methods for promoting material well-being, we need not be misled. And on page 342, paragraphs 3 and 4, he says, basically he's going to say, all that I have is thine, right? So we don't need to be misled by thinking, if I need a new shirt, I shouldn't pray for it. Well, why not? Why not? Ernest writes, let us approach this idea of substance and supply and the law of opulence with a firm conviction that the eternal is forever saying to the temporal, that the Father is forever proclaiming to the Son, all that I have is thine. Everything in the universe is already yours. It was already given to you. He writes, even though manna falls from heaven, we must accept it. The manna is substance, and our receptivity of it is our supply. The law of opulence is in us, an ever-increasing mental equivalent of the good which we desire. The law of mental equivalence says that we can possess any objective thing provided we first have a subjective mental image of it, and provided that this subjective mental image is a real embodiment within our thought. Okay, so we have to see it in our mind and know that it's ours. And we should be forever joyful and giving thanks just for knowing that which we picture in our mind is already ours in spirit. And we only need be in alignment with and remember that it's already ours. Remember to remember that it's already ours. And be open to receive it. Be open to receive it. So within the kingdom of God are all gifts, everything. And when Jesus said everything is there, what he was doing was he was generalizing the principle that we specialize. It's a general principle and we get to specialize it. Think about level, water reaching its own level. Okay, so that everybody knows that. That's general. How do we specialize that? We take a piece, a straight edge piece of wood or plastic or metal, and we put a little container of liquid in it. And what we do is we look at that to see if the bubble is level, because liquid reaches its own level. And we use that as a level when we are building things and we want to make sure that they are straight, that they are plumb, that the pictures hanging on our walls aren't hanging crooked. That is a specialized use of the general principle of water seeking its own level. The right idea of substance may be applied to every everyday needs, right? You specialize the use of a general principle all the time. And you do it just like you drink a bottle of water. Do you doubt the water's ability to quench your thirst? I don't. Does anybody? Or do you know beyond knowing that water hydrates that which is dehydrated? There's not sufficient water for something to thrive. Give it water. If your mouth is dry and you feel weak, drink water.
It's that knowing, that faith, that water hydrates. That general knowing that's what it does all the time. That allows us to drink a glass of water or a bottle of water knowing that it's going to be helpful to us. That allows us to run our hands under running water and know that the water, the energy of the water and the friction is going to get whatever is on our hands off of us. We are specializing the use of the principles. Did you know you were such deep scientists in just washing your hands and drinking a glass of water? You are applying deep, deep, deep metaphysics. Congratulations. Your mother would be proud. On page 343, Ernest writes, "We should throw away all doubt, fear, and despair and enter joyously into our inheritance. But the very law which we are using should teach us that we shall arrive at the consummation of our desire only by starting from where we are. We are told to despise not the day of small beginnings. Each one must start with the mental equivalent he has today, and by enlarging upon it, increase his capacity to receive." Increase your capacity to receive. And one of the ways we do that is by recognizing that we are receiving. Being grateful for everything that we have. Experiencing joy in all the little things that we have. We want to cast out that fear. We just want to be rid of it. And finally, he says something that I find is a great conclusion to all of this. It's not his conclusion. It's, you know, like still in the middle of his article. Ernest writes, "We must reverse all of these beliefs and accept the simple proposition that God is good. For this is fundamental to a correct idea of substance and supply and the operation of the law of opulence. God is good. This good is ours now. This should be our permanent and increasing expectancy." Our expectancy of good, let it increase in every moment. "We should expect so much good that we should conceive of it as being more than we even have time to enjoy. We should feel the presence of this good and appreciate its meaning and give thanks for its manifestation. There should be the combination of gratitude, expectancy, and joy. There should be an enthusiastic recognition that we are in partnership with the divine and that God and company cannot fail. You are God and company. We are God and company. Your business is God and company. Your creativity is God and company. Your family is God and company. Your life, your livelihood is God and company. It is all God and company. No doubt at all. So what is joy? Letting go of the battle and realizing that all is already yours. Now, go out and have a joyous Mother's Day. Namaste.